I came to the service as a teenager. I knew that I was eventually going to be going back to North Baldwin County where I lived with my grandmother, and she was going to ask me if I'd been to church on Sunday. And I thought, well, you know, I can kill two birds with one stone. This really doesn't seem like church as I'm used to it. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of cool being out on the beach on Sunday morning. And I can tell her I did go to church, though if I told her where I went, she would have been disturbed by it. Later on, I had the opportunity to come to Foley Church. Came beginning of the conference year in the middle of the summer, so I came down to the beach a few times. By the next season, Walter Tatum had called me into teaching a Sunday school class. So I was teaching a Sunday school class on Sunday morning. Then Walter asked me to come as we began to get ready for the Galilean service that season, come to the beach and be a part of that service. And I began making excuses about, well, you know, I have to be here for Sunday school, and it would be hard to get to the beach and then get to Sunday school and be ready to teach, and sometimes I'll preach, and I have to be ready to preach at 11 o'clock. And Walter just was relentless. He insisted that I be here on that first Mother's Day. And so I came. Walter Tatum became one of the best friends that I've had in life, as a mentor and just as a good guy. And Walter got me involved in this service, and I learned to love it even more and appreciate it even more, and really appreciate the people whose ministry is to make sure that we have this service during the summer. Those of you who come regularly have gotten to know some of the Galilean team. I hope that you will never leave here on a Sunday morning without finding at least some of those Galilean team members and telling them how much you appreciate them making ready for this service. If this is a meaningful service for you, and I can't believe that it's not, make sure that you thank God, and you thank God for the people, and thank the people themselves for what they do for us. It's a wonderful service. It's a great experience. I'm glad to be a part of it, and I'm glad to be with you this morning. Not only is today Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day to everyone, but it's also a special Sunday today in that at the end of the preaching today, we have a baptismal service. If you would like to stay after the benediction, as you see us making our way down to the water, we invite you to join us and be a part of the baptismal service. We have a child this morning who I'm excited to be a part of this service. I had the opportunity a few years ago to officiate at the wedding of her parents. And now we're going to be baptizing their first child. So it's just a great Sunday morning, great Mother's Day. And God is blessing us this morning. What a wonderful thing to have Walter's family take over the torch of leading in worship. I just think it speaks to the significance of this service and what a blessing it is to the church, to the community, and to all of us who are part of it, and how much it means to all of us who have ever been connected to it in some way. I want to thank them. Thank them for being here to lead us this morning and throughout the song. I keep trying to find ways to express my gratitude to the Foley Church. It's difficult to do. They have a special place in my heart. They have been a blessing to me and to my family through some difficult times in my life. They have prayed for me and lifted me up and been more kind than they have a right to be. They are always complimentary of me, and they don't have to be. And I appreciate the Foley Church. I appreciate their love, their kindness, and their prayers. And I hope that those of you who visit with us during the summer have learned to appreciate that same love and kindness that comes from that congregation. I want to thank the Foley Church and take it back. I want to thank Dr. Donald for allowing me to be here to preach this morning, to allow me to continue to be a part of this service. I appreciate him and his leadership. Pray for this congregation. Pray for this church and its ministry, not just here at the beach, but in the community and in the world, as they seek to serve God and follow God's will for that congregation. The gospel reading for today is John 14:1-14, and these are familiar words. We usually read these at a funeral service, but it just so happens it's the lectionary, the gospel lection for this Sunday. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe? Do you not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works? Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. If you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Now this is important. Not that all of it is not, but this last part is really important. So listen carefully. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And in fact, will do greater works than these. Because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you bless the reading of your word for all of us this morning. May these words speak to our hearts, and to our minds, to our spirits. We thank you for this holy sand and the opportunity to be in worship together. Send your spirit upon all of us this morning, and bless the words that are spoken for you today. May they have meaning to us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. That's a tough passage of Scripture in many ways. It's comforting. I've read those words, and I would expect I've read those words at every funeral service I've ever officiated, ever conducted in my years as a minister. Because there's such comfort in knowing that Jesus is going to prepare a place for us so that one day we can be there with him. We can go and be where he is. But there's also a great challenge in those words, especially that last part where he says, you know the works that I do. Because of the works that I've done, you can believe that the Father is in me. And when I tell you about the Father, you can believe what I say about him. And when I tell you I'm going to the Father, you can believe me when I say I'm going to the Father. So because of the works that I have done, you've seen them. You've been a witness to the miraculous things that have occurred in my ministry. But you know what? Not only because you have seen them can you believe. If you believe, you can do greater things than these. There's the challenge. When I read my Gospels and I read those things that Jesus did in his ministry, how miraculous they were, how powerful they were, how he spoke with such authority from the Father, how he changed the lives of people when they realized that God really did care about them, And more than caring for them, he actually loved them enough to send a Savior for them. Well, I read that, and then Jesus says, if you believe in me, what you ask in my name, if you ask in the, ask to glorify the Father, then it will come. It will happen. I have to ask the question, what did you pray for last night before you went to sleep? And what did you pray for this morning when you rose from your sleep? Did you pray for something that you really expected to happen? Did you pray believing that God was going to bring this thing to pass in your life? An even greater question, who were you praying for? Were you praying for yourself? Or were you praying that the Father might be glorified in your life? That's the difficult thing. Many years ago, I was a pastor, I was still in school, and I had the great fortune to be appointed to a church that had a strong tradition of mentoring pastors and educating them and really helping them learn what it meant to be a minister of the gospel and a pastor of a congregation. There were several mentors of mine in that congregation, but one especially, Madison Black, elderly gentleman who had seen a lot of preachers come and go. That congregation had sent a lot of preachers off to school and helped them get through with their schooling and training in the United Methodist Church. And I can remember one Sunday morning I was leaving to go back to school. The congregation had prayer for their preacher that he would do good in school, praying that he would learn what he was supposed to learn and that he would do his best in his studies and that he would be successful in completing his education. So we had that prayer, and it was a moving prayer, and I was all charged up, and I was just about to leave, and Madison came up behind me and put his hand on my shoulder and said, Bill, I want to speak with you before you leave. So he brought me back to the back part of the church into one of the Sunday school rooms and said, sit down for a minute. He said, I want to share a story with you. He said, there was this young man who went off to school and he was all fired up about being a preacher. And he prayed that he would do well in his studies, and he prayed with great power, and he prayed, and he continually prayed. He went off to school, and all during his school day and school days and school nights, he prayed. He prayed that he would do well on his exams. He prayed that he would do well in all of his studies. But he said all he did was pray. He really didn't study the material. He didn't do any of the homework. He didn't prepare for the exams. He prayed about the exams, praying that he would pass, praying that he would make a good grade, but he didn't study. Madison said, Bill, we prayed for you, and we expect you to do well. We expect God to answer you the prayer that we have prayed. We believe that you will do well. But Bill, we want you to do your part. So open the book, read the material, study for the exams, do the homework. You see, oftentimes we try to put everything on God. God has given us the power to be successful. He has already given us the gifts that we need to be ministers of the gospel. This morning in the gospel lesson, Jesus is not just speaking to those disciples that he's trying to comfort. He's speaking to the church today, saying to us, you can do greater things than me if you, what you pray for is in the name of the Father, to glorify the Father, and that you use the gifts that God has already given you for his glory. We do two things that limit our prayer. One thing we do is we pray selfishly. We pray for what we feel like we need, oftentimes that's only what we desire. But we pray for what we think we need with little thought of how will this advance the ministry of Jesus in the world. If I receive this, how will this glorify the Father? He may glorify us, but will it glorify the Father? And then, we oftentimes pray for God to act in a certain situation, certain circumstance. We pray that something good will happen in our congregation. And then we sit to see what God is going to do, if He's actually going to deliver on His promise. And all that time, we have these gifts that God has given us. All kind of gifts that we're sitting on, that we're refusing to use. Oftentimes we say, well, okay, God, show me what you can do, and then I'll do what I can. When God is saying, I've given you what you need, do what you can, and I'll help with the rest of it. Sometimes we don't, our prayers are not big enough. We see the gifts that God has given us and we think that they're not great enough to accomplish what we would like to see happen. And so we pray and say, okay, God, do this. When if we would just start the doing, God would extend our gifts. He would give us more power. He would take what we use and bless it, and something miraculous will happen. More than what we have ever seen. Think about what He promised the disciples. You would do greater things than me. Have you done greater things than you read about in the Gospels in your life and your ministry? Is your congregation expanding the ministry of Christ, the mission of God in the world? Are people learning how much God loves them so much that He gave His Son to die for them? That no matter who we are, no matter what we have done, there is forgiveness at the foot of the cross. And because of that cross, the price has been paid, the penalty has been paid for our sins. And then because of the empty tomb, because Christ has risen, we have power over death itself. And there's nothing in this world or any other that can separate us from that great love of God. A love so great that Jesus lived, died, and rose again so that we might live and we might have power in this world. I know we get discouraged and we have doubts. All of us do. There are times in our lives when we get to that place where we think, how can I believe this anymore when so much has gone wrong in my life, or I've not received the things that I prayed for? We become discouraged, we become weary and tired and say, well, now it's somebody else's turn. Think about that old hymn, Follow Me. When we sing about Jesus walking down Calvary's road, the cross becoming too heavy to bear. But He went on. And then that last verse in that great hymn of the chorus. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. God has given us gifts, and He has called us into His light to follow Him and spread light in the darkness of this world. And we need to be praying. We need to be expecting miracles. But we also need to be using the gifts that God has given us to help those miracles occur. We need to step from the own darkness of our lives, the weariness, the doubts, the failings, believing that if we would just take that first step, God would give us the power to keep moving forward. And He would find others to connect us to help us in the task at hand. The epistle lection for today is from 2 Peter, the second chapter. In the 10th verse, we read these words: "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were no people, you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." We have a purpose. We have the tools that we need to accomplish the purpose that God has given us and to which He's called us. So much so that we can do greater things than the disciples witnessed Christ completing when He was here. Let's not limit God by praying for ourselves rather than for the glory of God. Let's not limit our prayers by sitting in our hands and our feet and not moving and finding the people that God wants us to connect to in this world. When you leave the beach this morning, God is going to connect you with people that are members of your family or strangers that you will see in the restaurants or on the street. And your attitude toward them, what you say to them, how you accept them will make a difference in their lives. Whether you pray for them or not makes a difference. Whether you love them or not makes a difference. We pray for peace, tolerance. We pray for love. We pray for God to be glorified. For all that to happen, it has to begin with you and me. We have to have love in our hearts. We have to have the peace of God. And we must be willing to risk ourselves somewhat to touch someone else. This is a great place to be. Great day, it's Mother's Day. Many of you will be spending most of the day with family members. I hope that this is a blessed day for you. But I hope that the next time that you pray for your families, the next time you pray for your church, the next time you pray for our world, you'll pray with an attitude that God may be glorified in all that you're praying for. And I also pray that all of us will get out of our chairs and we will get moving, and that we will demonstrate the power of Christ in our life, not just on the beach on Sunday morning at Galilee, but in the midst of the week when we're frustrated or angry, when we're weary, when our doubts are attacking us from all sides. I hope that we will remember our prayer and our promise to God. We have been called from the darkness of this world into His wonderful light. And we are called to share that light, to shine that light everywhere that we go. And when that begins to happen, on the beach, in the church, in our lives, and we will see the miraculous works of Christ in this world, even today.